Brad, what have you done now?
And he joins me now. The film that I've been talking about, I just saw it here not too long ago, Christmas in Carolina. And he joins me right now, the star, David Roel. David, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Brad, guys. I'm here with the entertainment world champion, Brad Gilmore. Let's do it. I'm so excited to be here. Anytime this guy's watching me, we're on it.
That's right. Wow. That's right,
what a
man.
What a pleasure.
No, man. Thank you for coming on. You know, when your name came across the desk, I was excited to talk to you because I read a little bit about your background and I watched obviously the film and I know about everything that you've done. But let's start with the movie. Let's start off top. We got to start with, here's the thing. I love holiday films. I'm a big sucker for holiday films of all kinds. Christmas is my favorite one. Why was this movie? Why was Christmas in Carolina? Why was this the one to go with? I know you're a South Carolina native. Was that what drew you to it? Or why was this the right film at the right time?
Well, I think it drew me because it was such a feel good. Christmas is also my favorite holiday. You and I have a lot in common. We got a lot to talk about. Don't worry. But Christmas being my favorite holiday, as well as it being a love story. A lot of people don't know that as well. It's a total love story. So if you're into all that, especially if you like Hallmark films, this is definitely one for the ages for you. This is one that you're going to fall in love with, one that you can get under those covers, drink some wine or apple juice, however you decide to do it, and just really, really have something positive to look back on, because this has been a hectic 2020, right? We've been through so much. I thought that this was just a perfect time. And even last year when I decided to take the part, it was also my biggest role to date. So I knew that with the people that were coming along with Kelly S. Williams, known to the world as Laura Winslow and Darius McCrary, who's known to the world as Eddie Winslow, this was an incredible opportunity. So I couldn't pass up on it.
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head. It has that Hallmark movie vibe to it, that Christmas love story, romantic comedy kind of vibe to it. And the cast is very talented, but how did it come across your radar? How did you get involved exactly?
What a crazy story. I went to school with the writer's younger sister. We had broadcasting class. And they always knew my personality was really bubbly. And I played basketball most of my career. So that dominated most of my time. Anytime you're beating on your craft, you got to be dedicated. So that's where my mind and my focus was. And the minute that basketball and I divorced, if you will, I had an opportunity to really start to pursue the acting arts. And when she started writing this film, she was looking for somebody to start to fill the character in, Wesley Saxon. And her younger sister said, maybe you should reach out to David L. Rao. He might be a great fit. She saw my social media, reached out. We started grooming the character. We started developing him somewhat even around my own charisma, my own personality, and my own charm. And those things really helped the character to become what we just saw and to bring it to life. So that's really how it came about.
You know what's funny is when, because I read the synopsis of the movie before I watched it, and I noticed your character's name was Wesley Saxon, and I said, And I said, man, this guy's got to come correct with a name like Wesley Saxon. You got to come correct with it. You know what I mean? You got to be able you got to be able to bring it. And I'm not going to give too much away, but even your introduction, your character's introduction into the film, you did it very debonair, like you did it very suave. You know what I mean? The way that you came in the situation that you were in, right? Because you were, you may have been not the most punctual person in the world. And you came in, and you came correct. That's what I'm trying to say. You came correct with it. Did you have to say again?
Look, I see you doing it. I see you doing the swagger. I see you doing the entrance. You and I are both big wrestling fanatics, so we know how important the entrance is and how important that presence is when you walk. You can feel that, right? So I know fan to fan speakers, I know that you understand exactly how important that moment was to feel that.
Yeah, well, and talk to me about this. And this is something that and maybe your basketball background helped and assisted in this, because basketball obviously is a game of beautiful movement. At what position did you play?
I was a point guard, but I was a shooting guard, stuck in a point guard's body. I'm around 6 foot, but I was a shooter. I really had that Kobe Allen Iverson game, but I was stuck in AI's body. You know,
not a terrible thing.
I had that 6'4" frame.
Don't we all? Don't we all? But, you know, it makes sense, though. It makes sense that you're a point guard and even a shooting guard because it's all about movements, right? Basketball is a game of beautiful movements. It's a game of you have to be very precise. And fluidity. Fluidity. Absolutely. Great word. And the way that you, like I said, you're nonverbal communication, right? Because acting is all about the small quirks. It's not about the line. It's about how you deliver the line. It's about how you present yourself. Do you think that your basketball background lended yourself to be a little bit better adapt at that, or how do you think you came about that? Because again, like I said, you kind of came in, you came into the frame just the perfect way. You introduced yourself in the perfect way. It was all fluid, like you said. Where does that come from?
That's a great question. And you're right. And absolutely, that basketball background had a lot to help with it. It just totally bled into the character, into, you know, the swagger and the presence and the aura of a basketball player was very, if it was believable and credible, it was because that came from a real place. So that the way you carry yourself is actually, it's real. It's natural, on top of learning the craft and the fundamental of acting and colliding the two worlds together. I think basketball played a humongous role on helping me to become Wesley Saxon as an ex-NBA player.
Right. It all kind of goes right in line. It was almost like this part was written for you. You were destined to play it in a variety of different ways. Now, here's the other thing is you talk about the talented cast, and the cast is very great. It's a very talented cast of people that you got to work with on this movie, Christmas in Carolina, which, by the way, you can rent, view it now on demand. Make sure you go check it out. It's right in time. We have plenty of time for Christmas. It's a holiday feel-good story. Although, My mother and girlfriend, they'll watch Hallmark holiday movies in the summertime. So it's really a year-round film. You can watch it whenever.
Right, absolutely. What's up with Christmas in July, right?
Christmas in July is a thing. So, yeah, you can watch it year-round. But you said you brought up the fact that you're a wrestling fan. And this is going to be my connection here. I work with the great Booker T. And when I was talking to Booker, when I first started working with him, he had the 5-time WWE Championship.
Can you dig it, sucker? Okay, I'm sorry. Huge 90s era fan and also WCW, Wolfpack.
Yeah, man. Booker's one of the greatest of all time. And I remember asking him, you know, what was the match where you started to really learn the craft? And he said, I didn't start learning until I started working with guys who were a lot better than I was. He said, I remember this, you know, one match I had with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And it was just, I learned so much in that one night because I was working with somebody better. You talk about a cast who has a great list of credits on IMDb. Do you feel like working around them helped you bring your game up to the next level?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. And it's like sparring with somebody like the master. Or someone that you just can't, you don't usually normally get better in a small pond or people that you're better than. You have to get in there and develop at someone who is higher, at a higher level, much more expertise. And like you said, who has that 10,000 hours or more than you have. So all of a sudden you're just adding to your own game, developing, evolving, blossoming. And to be around Kelly and Darius and Irvin Williams and Peggy Williams, or the director and executive producer, took their time with me. It was like being at independence camp again, you know, training grounds to get to the next level. And those people taking that all those years and experience to help me really form and become a better actor, a better performer and entertainer. Yes, absolutely. Being around them absolutely raised my game. And I mean, I'm telling you. You know, it took a while, but it was absolutely worth it and rewarding.
I want to talk about though things that you do outside of the acting world, because I know that you are you're a humanitarian. You're somebody who has his own foundation. Talk to me about your foundation and what is the ultimate goal there?
The ultimate goal is to give into others as they've given to me and to lend a hand. But I was often a kid who had big aspirations or a big dreamer, but from a very small town, it became very relevant very quickly that I probably wouldn't ever be able to see the people I saw as mentors and talk to them. And that's so important to a kid to be able to touch those mentors and see those big stars. They were never coming to the small town I'm from. So I wanted to build that connection and be that big brother, be that big cousin, be that that uncle or that that presence that will help to captivate and help you to help those kids to understand and realize their dreams and then wake up and start to make those dreams a reality. So that's what the DJ Rob Foundation is about. All of my philanthropy work, giving back to the kids, started off in the Children's Hospital. I was a Ryan Seacrest intern. Learning to hone my skills as a broadcasting analyst. So, I mean, like, all these things just all come back together. It's weird and it's crazy. And honestly, man, just to help others to better become who they want to be and decide, because often more than not, we spend too much time thinking and not enough time acting. I want to act and I want to help others, but help others inspire themselves through me or be the possibility or the idea of what they could be. So,
oh man, that's awesome. That's well said, and you're right. I think everyone, especially we're just coming out of an election, and I'm not talking politics, but a lot of times people are just out there like, oh, well, we should do this or we could do that. Or what if we do it this way? What if we do it that way? And people have a lot of great ideas, and ideas are great. Ideas are great, but action. That's what we need.
Right.
We need people acting on the idea. It's one thing to put it on paper. It's another thing to implement the plan and actually do it. And I think that the fact that you have a foundation and you have a clear vision for it, it's so awesome. And I think that in this world that we're living in 2020, you have that ability to reach people in the small towns like you were. Maybe through social media, through the internet, through these Zoom calls and things of that nature, you have the ability that you didn't have when you were younger to be reached by those big names, those idols, those mentors. Now you can act in that regard through the virtual space, and I think that's really a cool thing that you're working on. But I want to talk a little bit more about basketball, because basketball is my favorite sport as well. You know what I mean? Basketball is my favorite sport. Now,
wow, that's same.
I'm a Houston guy, so I'm a Rockets fan. Obviously, we got things going on with us over the last couple of years. We have something going on right now with James, but tell me about you. I mean, being from the Carolinas, you had to grow up a big Mike fan, right?
Big Mike fan, but bigger Kobe fan. You know, I'm 27, so Mike, it was all about the hype for me. He was already well-branded, you know, born in 93. By the time I became of age to play basketball, it was all Kobe. Kobe just with the fro, you know? So I was a huge Kobe fan, a huge Kobe Shaq fan, Tracy McGrady, Allen Iverson, all those, Ray Allen went in his youthful days, Steve Nash, back-to-back MVPs. Oh, my goodness, you know. So that's really the era that I truly enjoyed. And Kobe, like I said, man, I was just stuck in this small frame, but I so thought I should have been on that block, pivoting, doing that fadeaway, you know, and dunking over guys. But I was stuck at 6 foot.
Yeah, you and I are about the same age. I'm, you know, maybe a couple months older than you are. I'm 92. And it was the same thing. Michael, though, when you grew up, Michael was just already the guy. But I just figure being from South Carolina, even the Carolina territory in larger part, Michael must have been Michael must have been this mythological creature out there, right?
And no one's ever seen him. So like Michael was saying, he's a myth. Like, we see him on TV. We've never been in the same atmosphere as Michael outside of a television or, you know, a print ad or something like that, which is something that, you know, it's like I said, it's important to show people that you are, you know, that they can touch you and talk to you and get that immediate feedback.
Where do you sit on the GOAT debate? It seems like you're a big Kobe fan, but the debate's really been about Michael and LeBron for the last several years. But where do you sit on the greatest of all time debate?
Man, what LeBron is doing right now is just unprecedented territory. Dude, I mean, it's from beginning to the end of the career, and the longevity and consistency is insane. So is Kobe's, and Kobe didn't get off to the best start because they didn't start him immediately. But Kobe has a remarkable career, and he for a long time he didn't get the highlights of how great he was. I think Steve stole one of those MVPs from him, but Steve definitely deserved that for that second one. But one of them he definitely stole from Kobe. I'm gonna have to say, just because he's a mythological creature and a unicorn of many, we got to go with Michael first. I hate to push my boy out. Favorite is definitely Kobe, but what LeBron's doing right now is completely bizarre. We got to give LeBron second, Kobe third.
Yeah, I think I agree with that assessment overall. Now, I also grew up a big Shaq fan, but I go in that order too. I go Michael, LeBron, Kobe. I just don't think that Michael's so massive. I just don't think that it doesn't matter. LeBron could win 40 more championships. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And but you're not Michael. You know, I think he's always going to have that out there about him.
And see, you know, Michael's like, it's not. Michael reminds me, as far as the marketability, he's like Dwayne Johnson. He's like The Rock. You know, The Rock is like had a very quick career. I watched a recent interview on him. I didn't notice that he was only in, what's it, like 6 to 12 years before he retired? He retired at like 32, which is insanely young. Goes and conquers the box office crowd in Hollywood. You know, that's insane. And Michael, they forget, during his prime years, retired twice in his prime. The beginning of his prime and towards the middle end of his prime. Just to play baseball, then had to retrain those muscles to come back and still average and is over 25. That's incredible. And you forget those mystery years. What if he never left? So that's a big asterisk by his name, like incredible unicorn of mythology. It's like Zeus.
He's like Zeus. He really is. He's on the top of Mount Olympus. And you know, since you brought it up and we have it in common, obviously you said you're a wrestling fan. The Rock is up there. Booker's up there. But tell me a little bit about you, again, being from the Carolina territories. That was WCW country. That's Ric Flair country. Talk to me about your wrestling love.
Brad, you make me excited because this is something people don't know. I'm a geek when it comes to wrestling. I was like 6 or 7 years old, first time I saw a wrestling match. And my favorite wrestler, my first favorite of all time, that person I laid eyes on, and I was like, I just totally was like fanboyish of Kevin Nash, Big D.
Yeah.
Big sexy Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, but it was definitely Kevin Nash within itself. I thought he had such a, he was just cool, you know, too sweet. It was just so cool. And I was like, I remember being in kindergarten when I first laid eyes on him. And I was trying to like hook my principal up with him. I didn't even know him. And then I eventually transcended over to, you know, that was right before the Attitude Era started. Well, it was, you know,
kind of Monday going
Night
on.
War,
yeah.
Nitro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it started sparking up and Stone Cold and Goldberg going with the streak. The Rock, finally, when he stopped doing the thing that everybody else liked and turned heel and started really being him. And I saw another interview you said wrestling's about. But this is almost about any craft that you're being authentic about, being just turning, it's being you and turning the notch up to 110%. How true is that? But sometimes you may have to turn it down 110% to really be just to get the true nature of the who you are. But that's absolutely, absolutely, I agree with that.
You know, I think that you bring up an interesting point, though, about acting, right? Because in wrestling, you're trying to project this larger-than-life character, and you want to make sure that people all the way in the back row and the nosebleed sections can see what's going on in your face and the big big movements. It's drama. It's high drama. But with acting, it's about these micro movements. It's about a tilt of the head, a raise of the eyebrow, a wincing, a squint at times, the way that you move your hand. Like I told you, how you came up on your love interest there in the very beginning, right? Just the way you made your entrance. How did you study the craft? Because we talked a minute ago about working with people who are better than you, but do you like to watch other actors? Since we're in the same age group, one of the movies I like to watch all the time, because it's a phenomenal performance and I've seen it my whole life, was Denzel Washington in Remember the Titans.
Oh my gosh, bro. I just watched it on Disney Plus last night.
Did you really? Oh my God. So there's a scene that I was obsessing with a couple of weeks ago, and I sent it to all my friends who are in the industry, wrestling, actors, the whole thing, when he's calling out, when they're about to go on the bus to go to Gettysburg, and Gary Bertier, the Who's Your Daddy one, right? When he's like, tell him, Gary, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy, Gary? That scene blew my mind of how much of a sorcerer Denzel was in that. So I like to watch people like that. Just for my own, I'm not an actor, but just for my own personal benefit, I love people who are great at their craft being great at their craft. Do you have any actors that you like to watch and take notes from?
You know, because of how, and you will probably better understand this, and I learned, and to get back to your question, but just to kind of segue into it, being 6 foot, always want to be Kobe. I should have admired Kobe, but I probably should have studied someone a bit smaller, you know? So, and because of my height, because I was never going to be 6'4" at this point, right?
Like a CP3 or somebody like that. Yeah.
Or smaller, much smaller scoring guard, Monty Ellis or, you know, just somebody much smaller, Lou Will. And because of my personality, because of how I came on, oh man, Denzel is something to shoot for in the stratosphere, and it's great, and I am definitely shooting for that, but I'm more likely going to fall in the realms of a Will Smith type of guy because of the personality, because of the things that I do. I'm hosting here, I'm doing philanthropy work. You know, Denzel, you're only going to catch him on the big screen. I remember one time he said in one of his interviews, he said, why would I go to a TV show when, you know, if you can see me weekly, you won't come. What's the reason to come see me in the box on the big screen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Denzel is actually, he's totally phenomenal. And he does all the small detailed work and the things that you notice, the tilt, the raise of the eyebrow, taking his time. And he's believable and credible within each and everything. And not only is he Denzel, but you believe him in each and every craft and every piece of work that he does. But I probably see myself developing over the years into a different beast of a monster, such as how Will started, you know, when he was on The Fresh Prince, reading, mouthing back everybody's lines, you know, when he first started. And, you know, I'm still learning so much and coming into my own, and I'm excited to learn and get better every day. So I probably see myself more falling alongside the not Will Smith, but definitely in that area.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. And I didn't know that about Will until I saw that Fresh Prince reunion special they did on HBO, and they were talking about he would mouth the lines, and then they show little clips of him mouthing other people's lines. Yeah, just like that.
And
just
nobody
like that.
Ever called on to
him. Nobody. Yeah, just all these years later, we saw it. Now, again, I want to get back to the film, Christmas in Carolina. So, story's great. Love the movie. And here's also the thing, guys, is sometimes people get preoccupied in the holiday season. You don't have a very long time to sit down. You know, you're running here, you're running there. It's a perfect runtime. The movie's runtime is great. It doesn't drag on at all. It's very concise. It presents the story just as you would like it. So if you're worried about a runtime on a film, this is not one. This is not the Avengers where you're going to have to take an intermission to get through the whole thing, right? This is a really palatable film, which is great. But you said that Christmas is your favorite holiday, you know, as it is mine. I'm a Sagittarius. I'm a December baby in general. So I like the whole winter season. But what is Christmas like for you with your family? What are some traditions that y'all have? What are things that you can't wait to December 25th because you know I'm getting such and such, right? What is something that you do with your own family?
My own family is very similar to what you saw in Christmas in Carolina.
Okay.
I'm such a giver and a guy of just the season. Everybody just seems to be so much joyous around Christmas and such in a great mood, just in a great mood. We get together, we do Uno, we get together, we eat, we tell jokes, we watch TV, endless Christmas films, which probably my favorite one of all time is Elf. So I'll watch that throughout the year still because it's just one of my favorites. But just to get together and love on one another, 6 feet apart, of course, but just to love on one another and really be in the moment of what's truly important. You know, just like I said, I love to just research people. And another thing we have in common, we're family people. So to get together and tell those people that I'm proud of you, I love you. Recently had a grandmother pass, which was very close to me. She's actually the one who really motivated me and inspired me because she was always the person. If I won a school spelling bee, she was the one who was excited. If I learned how to tie my shoes, she was the one who was proud, you know? And it's those small things that you never know that ignite you to appreciate the small things. So I can't wait to get together to just tell everybody how happy I am to see them, how proud I am, and to just love on them and enjoy that moment that we, you know, will solidify and perhaps never get again, because it's all about that one moment. So I'm looking forward to that moment.
Yeah, if you, I think Kanye West said, if you admire somebody, go ahead, tell them. Not enough people get the flowers while they can still smell them, or something like that. So, definitely. I'm 100%. I'm 100% in line with you on that. And I think that, you know, when you're younger, the holiday season is about getting presents, right? I mean, that's what we're all excited for. But as you get older, you do treasure those moments more. And I found it more so in my later 20s that I've really appreciated every holiday, every birthday, every event. I try to make everything because, you know, life is fleeting. It is temporary. However, the power of love will last forever. And that's really the central focus of Christmas in Carolina. People can get it everywhere. DJ, here's the thing, man. I've enjoyed this. We've had fun together. You know what I mean? This has been an absolute treat, and I hope this isn't your first and last time on the show, because I feel like we could talk forever about wrestling, basketball, and film, because you're a well-knowledge man about all three. So it's definitely somebody that you're definitely somebody I could talk to forever. But let the people know where they can find you, where they can follow you, and where they can see the film.
So Brad, you guys can follow me at Rock'em Nation on Instagram. That's R-O-C-K-E-M-N-A-T-I-O-N on Facebook at DJ Rowell. That's DJ R-O-W-E-L-L. And on the DJ Rowell Foundation.org. And Brad, you can find this movie on Google Play, Amazon Prime, iTunes, Fandango, Apple TV. And we got to be missing one. I'm not certain if we're definitely missing one, but you guys can find it almost on every streaming platform. And Brad, entertainment of the year, entertainer of the year. Brother, listen, I'm coming back each and every month if I can.
Let's do it, man. Yeah,
coming
just go
back each and every month, man.
Yeah, make sure everybody go give him a follow and go watch this movie. It's a good movie. It's a solid movie with a great moral. It makes you feel good when you're watching it. Christmas in Carolina. It's available now. Just go to Google. Type it in. It'll come up on whatever your preferred streaming service is. DJ, man, I appreciate you, my man.
Brad, it was a pleasure, buddy. I can't wait to be back. Christmas in Carolina, everybody. You guys go tune in.